A psalm this morning our brother read from, Psalm 22. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard him. What a blessed psalm that was this morning. What a wonderful way to start the Lord's Day today. Amen. Psalm 27. Psalm chapter 27. We continue our studies concerning the comforts of God. And hope and pray the Lord would visit us this morning in a special way and comfort our hearts in this hour of need. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. The psalmist speaking here, the Psalm of David. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of grace this morning because we are in great need of thy sovereign, divine, unmerited grace. Father, we pray that you would, as our brother prayed earlier, revive thy children in these latter days. Father, as we see and sense a spirit of indifference and apathy amongst many who profess the name of Christ, we sense and feel that same spirit threatening our own hearts and souls. We pray, dear God, that you would truly come and visit us this morning in a very special way. We pray the Word of God would go out in power and unction of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that, God, you would teach us anew what thy comforts are. The Lord, we might rejoice in our God as we did before. Father, we pray that you'd be with us this morning again in a special way. Be honored and glorified in all that we say and do, for it's in Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. And amen. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Beloved, such humility, coupled with a strong hope and confidence in God. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Beloved, this is the effectual working of true faith. True faith. For it not only enables the believer to sense and acknowledge his own weakness and infirmities. I have fainted. Faith acknowledges our weakness and our infirmities. It agrees with the Word of God. God, I am nothing of myself. I had fainted. That's a work of faith. No sinful man would ever acknowledge his weakness and infirmities. Without a true work of grace in the heart, sinful man thinks he's better than God. But when faith enters into our hearts by the grace of God, faith enables us to see the truth about our weaknesses and infirmities, and we acknowledge that before a great and merciful God. But out of that same weakness and infirmities grows a hope and a confidence and a faith that anchors itself in God. I had fainted unless I had believed to see, and I love this, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He had no reason to actually hope to see any goodness if his heart and soul was on the verge of fainting. And yet, it was his faith in the goodness of God that rises the believer above that fainting heart and spirit and says, but I shall yet see, I shall yet experience, I shall yet know anew the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Beloved, what joy and comfort that should give every true child of God who feels as though they're fainting. This is the effectual work of true faith. And beloved, we have so many who profess a faith in Christ, yet we see not the fruits of true divine faith given by the grace of God. And yet here in the psalmist we see it and we hear it. And if we too have like precious faith, beloved, we too can cry out with him, "I hear what the Spirit saith unto the church," in these words, "I had fainted unless I had believed." Thank God for the gift of faith. Beloved, where would we be this morning if God had not given us the gift of faith? When I look back on my life as a Christian, the many valleys that God providentially led me through, the only thing that kept me through them valleys was the gift of faith that God had given me. No merit of my own. But when I felt my weaknesses and my infirmities, the gift of faith that God gave me would revive my heart and my soul in the midst of that valley, revive my hope and confidence in God, and enable me to walk circumspectly in situations that would usually, normally, cause me to faint. It's precious, the gift of faith. Because the anchor and finisher of it, or the beginner or author of it, is Jesus Christ. Out of his weakness, the psalmist was made strong. Listen to me this morning. Out of his weakness, he was made strong. I had fainted. "My grace is sufficient," Christ told Paul. Paul therefore said, "I will therefore glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, I am strong." And beloved, there's something that faith teaches us in the depths of our weaknesses that we would know no other thing about faith, nothing else about faith, without God allowing us to grow weak in ourselves. And yet so often, when God places us providentially in situations and circumstances to weaken us in ourselves, we seek to flee and retreat instead of waiting on the Lord. Beloved, faith flourishes and prospers where humility and meekness has replaced all self-confidence and pride. The meek, Psalm 25 says, the meek, listen to this, will he guide in judgment. You want to know God's judgments? You want to be able to discern what God is doing in our lives? It is to the meek that the Lord guides them in His judgment. And it says, and the meek will He teach His way. Do we want to know God's way? It's in the spirit of meekness that God teaches us. He'll not teach a prideful man. He'll teach and guide the meek. Yeah. Beloved, we don't know the ways of God. It doesn't matter if we've been saved for 80 years in the Lord. We still know nothing about God as we ought. But when God puts us in a place and weakens us in ourselves and embraces us and teaches us something about meekness, in that spirit of meekness, God guides us in His judgments. He gives us understanding in them, and He also teaches us His ways that we might know something of God. Beloved, meekness is a temper of mind humble and submissive to the will of God. That's what meekness is. It's not weakness. It's a temper of mind humble and submissive to the will of God and not easily provoked by injuries. That's an old English dictionary definition of meekness. It's not easily provoked by injuries. In other words, regardless of what my present situation is, be it sore trials, troubles, persecutions, afflictions, heartaches, a spirit of meekness enables me to not be provoked by those emotions, but to have a temper of mind that humbles itself submissively to the will of God, not allowing these things to hinder me from doing God's will or seeking His will in my life. Beloved, that's a work of divine grace. If we've never been saved, we'll never know nothing of that temper of mind. But the true believer rejoices in that. Therefore, he can say with the psalmist, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted." Are you morbid? No, it's good for me that I'm afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, that I might learn the truth of it, not just simply dictate them or learn them intellectually, but that I might learn the power of them, the truth of them in my own heart and life. To feel the power of God working through me by His Spirit and His Word, like Martin Luther said, that the Word of God triumphed through our lives. That's what he's talking about. And he said, it's his afflictions that taught me such statutes. The world hears such speech and retreats, takes flight, because they find no comfort in that. Oh, but beloved, the believer does. Therefore, he's not so quick to seek flight or retreat, but waits on the Lord. Such meekness does not come natural to the true believer. When we're saved, we're not naturally meek. We have to be taught it. It's a work of divine grace, and beloved, it always grows best in the garden of afflictions. From such a spirit the psalmist speaks, for though his present situation is dire and troublesome, even to his fainting, I had fainted. His faith in the goodness of God, and that he shall yet see or experience that same goodness in the land of the living, strengthens and encourages his heart to yet wait on the Lord. And this is important. Listen to this. Let us read it again together. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. It tells us that he had not yet seen or experienced that goodness, but he believed to yet see it. But because he believed to yet see the goodness of the Lord, his heart was strengthened to wait for it. Beloved, that again is a divine work of grace that the believer rejoices in. I have not yet seen the goodness of the Lord that I know of, that I'm acquainted with, yet I believe to see it. But it hasn't arrived yet. It hasn't come yet. I'm still in this valley. I'm still in this affliction. I'm still troubled. Yet I believe to see it, and because I believe to yet see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I will wait on the Lord till it comes. You ever notice how the world, when they get into a difficult situation in life, they're hasty to seek an exit? Beloved, we're taught by God not to have such a hasty spirit, but to wait on the Lord. It's natural for us, when our circumstances and situations are uncomfortable, to seek deliverance, to flee, to retreat. Yet God teaches us by faith to wait and not seek a hasty retreat. That's why he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. You see, it takes courage to wait on the Lord. A courage that only God can give us, because he strengthens our heart. Twice he says, wait, I say. It's as though he's trying to say, you need to understand this. You need to comprehend this. You shall yet see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, but you might need to wait. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. But you have to learn to wait on God. These are the words, or in these words, we find the fruit of such faith in the goodness of God. God shall yet be good to me, as he always is. Remember last week, we learned that God is always good. He never does anything wrong. God is good all the time. I shall yet see the goodness of the Lord. For the moment, I don't, but I shall yet see it. And because I believe in that, I'll wait on the Lord. Beloved, this is without doubt one of the most difficult lessons for the believer to learn. Very difficult. Waiting on God when everything around us seems to be troublesome and full of afflictions and trying is the most difficult lesson to learn. Because our natural instincts want to flee, retreat, get away from it. And God says, I want you to wait in it. But God is hurting me. That hurt shall not consume you. But that hurt is meant to refine you. To show you something about me you wouldn't learn otherwise. We live in a day and age where so many believers really sincerely believe they know the mind of God better than God Himself. And if something is trying and difficult and heartbreaking, the solution is to be delivered from it immediately. Because God doesn't want that to happen. God doesn't want you to be under sorrow. God doesn't want you to suffer heartache. God doesn't want this. This is the philosophy being preached today in pulpits. The prosperity gospel. That God doesn't want things like that to happen to you. And if that's happening to you, it's not God's will. Therefore, you need to find something else. The Bible speaks different. The psalmist speaks different. To patiently wait on the Lord, even though we are facing very trying and difficult times, dearly beloved, is a hard lesson to learn. Especially when our flesh appeals to fleeing and retreating. Sometimes our flesh speaks louder than our faith. David knew that in Psalm 55. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Quick, swift. Why? For then would I fly away and be at rest. David said, if I could just leave where I'm at, I could be at rest. Things would be different. Things would change. Beloved, you can't run from your own heart. You can't run from your own fears. You can't run from yourself. Can't run from God. It was a vain desire from David. If things were just different, God knew if things were different, we'd probably react the same way. If I can't live for God in my present situation, what makes me think I can live for God in another situation? God says, I want to teach you to serve me in every situation in life. Not to flee or retreat when things are difficult or hard, but to wait on me. The flesh's first reaction in response to trials and afflictions, and it's normal, is fleeing. That's the first response, isn't that it? When we touch something hot, we immediately retreat. That's just normal. When we feel pain, we retreat. That's the flesh's first reaction and response. If I could but be removed from my trying circumstances, I would be at rest. But that's not true. If we can't learn to be at rest in every circumstances of life that we find ourselves, beloved, we'll be vagabonds and we'll be running all the time, spiritually. But those that learn to wait on the Lord, Isaiah says they'll renew their strength. They'll run and walk and not faint. See the difference? All the trials and afflictions we faced as believers, trials and afflictions I've faced as a preacher and preachers amongst us.
Seems like it's the same voice everywhere I go. When difficult times arrive and it's hard and it's difficult, flee! Why?
Grass is greener someplace else. No, it's not.
People are people. Sin is sin. And beloved, you can never, ever flee from yourself. If we faint now, we'll faint later. A believer learns to wait on God, even when his flesh cries loud, retreat. Face it. Stand firm. And wait on God. Faith, beloved, tried and tested, will always commend its case to God first. I know you understand what I'm talking about. We've all faced that as believers, and I'm just as guilty as the next, but the first thing we think of when we get into difficulties and trials is, how can I escape? What can I do to change it? What can I do to amend it? We don't stop and say, Lord, we commit or we commend this case to you. What is it you desire from me? Don't we always end up starting with ourselves? I do. When I first started facing afflictions here in Coleman, even in Kentucky, but here in Coleman, the first thing I thought was, I'll just get on the internet and find a new church. God struck my heart and said, I didn't tell you to do that. But my flesh did. Because I thought, that's the answer. What if God says, I want you to stay right where you're at till I call you home? I don't care if you have 2 converts or 2,000. I want you to simply obey and follow me. Wait on me. Do we actually commend our case to God first and wait on His response? Or are we already manipulating things? And oh, beloved, be careful, because the adversary plays a good part in here. Because if we can give us a spirit of cowardice, we'll not stand firm for the Lord. Peter calls it committing the keeping of his soul to Him in well-doing. That's what the psalmist is doing. I ain't fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. I ain't seen it yet. It's not here yet. But I'm waiting on God. I'm not taking wings like a dove. I'm waiting on God. Psalm 62 says this, and I love this. My soul, wait thou upon God. It's as though the psalmist is talking to himself. You're hasty. You're not thinking straight. You ever hear your parents say, and we probably told our kids too, if you're really in a haste, if really confusion, don't make a decision when you're under stress and confusion. Don't ever do that. Don't make decisions when you're emotionally upset. Why? Because you always end up making the wrong decisions. That's what David was saying. There's conflict within himself. My soul, wait thou upon God. Be still. Let God answer you. Let God drive you. Let God constrain you. Let God open the doors. Wait upon God. Don't start manipulating. Don't start planning. Wait upon God. Commit your case to God. For he goes on to say, for my expectation is from Him. See the difference? My expectation, my hope is from Him. Love it. Do we realize that there's a divine lesson in every trial? You know that? Sometimes we forget that. There's a lesson in every trial. And if we're not being still and waiting on God, we're going to miss it. Again, the world is hasty and hectic, frantic under stress. We as believers must learn by faith to wait and be still and listen to that still small voice in the midst of that fiery trial, because there's a lesson there to be learned. And if I'm too busy running around trying how to figure out my situation and get out of my distress, I'm not going to be able to hear the lesson. It's not easy, dearly beloved. It's not easy. But faith teaches us that. Treasures of darkness, the psalmist calls it. Hidden riches of secret places. Things we know not of. God said, you can't have the spiritual insight to understand what I'm doing unless I bring you to a point to where you've lost all self-confidence and in meekness you can hear me. You've got to learn to hear the voice of God when the storm is raging and not listen to the storm. Don't pay attention to the waves. Don't listen to the wind. But be still and hear the voice of God in the midst of that. That's what faith teaches us. And beloved, when we begin to learn that lesson, we'll find out that no matter what state I'm in, therewith to be content. And every time God providentially sends a storm in our life, we'll learn, I'm going to be still and wait and listen for God. Remember when Paul was going to Jerusalem? They said, oh, no, you can't go there, Paul. Can't go there. You know, even the elders at Ephesus said, the Holy Spirit told us to tell you, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul still said, but God told me to go. I'm telling you, that's still one of the verses in Scripture that confounds me. Be careful of the voices of others, because God's not speaking to them in the midst of your storm. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. And He wants us to hear that voice so we might be able to discern His way and humbly, submissively obey His will and learn the treasures of darkness. Matthew Henry said this in all hurry. Listen to this. Wise words. He said, the servant that waits on his master chooses not his own way, but follows his master step by step. Thus must we wait on God, he said, as those that have no will of our own, but what is wholly resolved into His. End of quote. That's a divine lesson learned. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, because it's going to take courage. Why courage? What's the opposite of courage? Cowardness. What's a coward do? I'm getting out of here. I'm fleeing my affliction. I'm fleeing my trials. I'm running away. Be of good courage. Paul said, quit ye like men, and He shall strengthen your heart. Why the heart? Because the heart's the first thing that faints. Therefore, He strengthens it. And beloved, when our hearts belong to Him, our eyes can better observe His ways. Isn't that right? When our hearts belong to Him, our eyes can better observe His ways. I didn't even know that path was there. God said, well, if I didn't humble you, if you didn't wait on me, you'd have never seen that path. God will eventually get us there because He's sovereign, but we're going to miss many treasures of darkness and we're going to become the poorer for it. Because the way God leads to that valley might not be the way we've chosen. He might choose a way that appears to us to be blocked. We can't go over that, Moses. There's a Red Sea right there. How are we going to do it? That's impossible. We can't get across that. God said, watch. I'd have loved to have been there, wouldn't you?
that wall of water all the way above them, around them. It wasn't just on the sides like in the movie. It was all the way around them. They walked through the water. It was on top of them. And it was dry land. And millions walked through that. You think they'd ever thought that'd be the way God would deliver them? No. Beloved, God can deliver us in such a glorious way if we would learn to wait on God. He delivers us much better than the way we choose. He does. And when He delivers us, when He shows us the way that we did not see before, I'm telling you, our hearts will belong to God like they never did before. And we'll fall down and praise and worship God who does wondrous things. Beloved, learn to wait on God. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Let me close with this hymn we all know. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below. Here's a verse that's not in the original hymn book, but it's an original verse. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart, and all is darkened in the veil of tears. Then shalt thou better know His love, His heart, who comes to soothe thy sorrow and thy fears. Be still, my soul, thy Jesus can repay, listen to this, from His own fullness all He takes away. Be still, my soul. Let God deliver you. He will. And when He does, beloved, your heart's going to rejoice in God like it's never done before. Be of good courage. If you're waiting on the Lord, He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how could we ever say thank You for Your patience towards us? Prone to wander, our hearts prone to leave the God we love. Take our hearts and seal it for Thy courts above. Father, I pray You'd help us to learn more of this divine lesson. Strengthen our hearts, we pray. Grant us reviving in these latter days. Oh God, I pray. Let us love You more than anything in heaven and earth. Lord, may You be all that we need and all that we want. Bless, I pray, in a special way. Draw nigh to Thy people. Comfort them. Embrace them in Your love, mercy, and grace. And help them to find the treasures of darkness in waiting upon You. Thank You, dear God. We look forward to the day when our faith might be made sight. And Father, our pilgrimage will be over. And we'll rest forever with the Lord. Until that day, strengthen us, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen.